Now, BizTalk on CosmicBroadcasting.com and the Cosmic Broadcasting app.
This ain't no disco. It ain't no country club either. This is L.A.
Well, good morning. This is Claire Billingsley, and I'm the host of BizTalk, which is geared for those of you who have an entrepreneurial spirit, whether it be an entrepreneurial thinker to a solopreneur like myself, to a business owner that started with a passion and developed a process, program, or product that serves that passion. These people take life by the horns, recognize they want to give and get the most out of this lifetime, have big hearts, and are all are truly passionate about what they do, give back to the community in some way, and have fun doing it. My mantra in life is follow the fun. I have 20 years in the corporate world and 10 years in improvisational comedy. I've leveraged these experiences into my passion, which is helping smart leaders of organizations that are experiencing dysfunctional communication, and I really transform the work environment so they can spend time getting down to business rather than managing conflict. I have a proven 5-step program, a book, and seminars that can help you build teams and break down silos. I also have an e-learning course based on my laughter yoga work, which is targeted for all ages and physical fitness levels. You can actually do laughter yoga from your chair. And 1 minute of laughter yoga is like 10 minutes on an exercise bike in regards to the physiological benefits. Visit me on my website at BillingsleyConsultingGroup.com to take a look at the variety of offerings I have. My book, Circle Up, is available through my website and also on Amazon. And my e-learning course, Yes And, is an expanded version of Chapter 6 in the book and walks you through a process using the improvisational comedy technique of Yes And to help you creatively brainstorm and generate ideas for your company that will leave your competition saying, why didn't we think of that? It's the most fun you'll ever have creating a secret weapon for your company. Find it at BillingsleyConsultingGroup.com and check out my new and improved LinkedIn page under Claire Billingsley. I am also a certified life coach, and I do coach one-on-one as well as groups. In fact, I am penning my second book right now, and it's going to be around using improvisational comedy techniques in group coaching sessions, and that was actually a request by the International Coaching Federation, so I'm really excited about that opportunity. I liken life coaching to sports figures, even though they make millions of dollars using their gifts and talents. They still have a neutral party giving them tips to make their performance even better. And so that's what I do. I help you look at things from a new perspective to see if there are some options you hadn't considered. It's fun self-discovery, and it will change your life and those around you. Again, call me at 214-289-8802. So this morning, I have a fantastic guest. I am so excited to introduce her to you. Her name is Helene Sula, and Helene is based in Dallas. She has been voted as the best local blogger in the North Dallas area for 2014. And her blog is called Helene In Between, and it covers just about anything and everything new and trendy happening in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So she's a great person to follow. She's a great person to listen to, because she's going to guide you in the right direction, especially if you're into discovering new things and finding out some possibly undiscovered places in your mind that are definitely worth discovering. She created the blog in 2012, and as of recent, her blog is her full-time career. So welcome, Helene.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we appreciate you on BizTalk being here. We're really interested in learning about you in particular, as well as your blog, and you know, how you've been able to take your blog and dovetail it into a full-time career. So let's start with you, Helene. Who are you? And tell the listeners a little bit about how you came to become this blogging expert.
Sure. So Helene Sula, I am from Dallas, Texas. I was born and raised, grew up here, went to college at SMU, so I've always been here. I have a large passion for traveling, and, you know, for the past, I would say, 10 years, I've been following bloggers, and I've, you know, noticed all different types of bloggers. They all have a different niche, and whether that's travel or fashion or DIY, and, you know, I said to myself, I love writing, I love creating, but but I don't think I can, you know, put myself in a niche. So in 2012, I actually fell 20 feet rock climbing, and it drastically changed my world. So I was working full-time, working in marketing, and I fell rock climbing, and I was out of work. And I'm just not one to sit on my laurels, so I started blogging. I wanted a creative outlet and a way to, you know, express myself and talk about the ups and downs of, you know, being in a wheelchair for a few months. And, you know, I wanted it to be funny and entertaining, and it ended up being, you know, my passion. I fell in love with it. I actually, you know, I did theater and dance and throughout college and high school, and I was missing that element in the corporate world. And so the blog kind of gave me this great outlet to be creative and express myself.
So when you first started your blog, it sounds like it might have started out maybe in a different, you know, like a different idea, and then it just kind of started morphing into something that you're doing now?
Absolutely, it did. You know, I thought that I needed to have a certain path. I thought I needed to talk about one subject only. And I started doing that, and I was bored. I felt like I had to, you know, please certain people because I was talking about certain subjects, and I didn't want to do that. You know, I felt like this was my creative space, and so I wanted to, you know, enlighten myself as well as others. So as soon as I started doing that is when I became more popular and I started really gaining readers, and I think that they could tell that, you know, this was me being authentic. And so I did start with a completely different path and then realized that, you know, if I'm going to do this, I need to do it for myself. So I need to create for myself what I want it to look like. So that's what happened.
So, for the listeners, I think most people understand the term blogger and understand what blogging is, but let's just kind of step back a little bit and talk about, you know, what your day looks like as far as, you know, managing your time as a business owner, because this really is a business. It's not just a part-time hobby that you're doing.
Right. It really is. So as far as the blog goes, the blog side, and obviously this didn't change day to day, but what I typically do, you know, I like to write in the morning. I like to get up early and I start the writing process, and, you know, I have an editorial calendar kind of what I'm going to do for the week, but I like to sit down and write every single day, every morning, to kind of get the creative juices flowing. And then I reach out to, you know, I answer emails and I reach out to potential business partners. And I really try to create a community around my blog. So I am reaching out to other bloggers as much as I possibly can. You know, I want them, I think that with blogging and with a lot of other businesses, people think that it's all a competition, and it is. But I think that there's room for others. So I think that, you know, we can all kind of grow together. So I want to help other bloggers as well. So I reach out to other bloggers, and I also do consultations with them. So I will, you know, talk on the phone, usually via Skype, so I can see them face-to-face, and help them decide on their path for their blog. You know, how can they grow? So that's kind of what my day looks like. And then I'm always doing something. So I have about 8 different balls in the air that I'm juggling, whether it's, you know, writing for the blog, doing freelance writing, consult with, you know, other bloggers and businesses, and then also have a t-shirt line.
Yeah, and we're going to get into the t-shirt line in a lot more detail in the second half hour of the show, so we can let everybody understand how you put that business together, and then, you know, kind of tie everything together with how do you manage both businesses as well as have a life outside of work, because what you do as a solopreneur is, you know, you've got to be self-motivated and you've got to take care of yourself so you can be your best for your readers and also the people you're providing for. So tell us a little bit about how you got the name of Helene in Between. I love that it rhymes.
Yes. So, you know, when I first started, I actually had a different blog name. So it was called Do Dallas Cheap. because that's what I thought I was going to talk about. I thought I was going to talk about the deals of the day. And then when I started to get more personal, I realized I probably needed a different blog name.
Okay.
So I thought of Helena Between. I liked that it rhymed as well. And I feel like that I'm kind of in the in-between stages of my life, although that can really go with whatever I'm doing. So I'm always in between something, whether I'm, you know, working on the blog or my social life. Like, as far as my life goes, you know, I'm married, but I don't have kids. So I'm kind of in that in-between stage. So that's kind of where the inspiration came from.
And when you first created your blog in 2012, did you ever envision that being your full-time gig, or was it something that you were just doing on the side to kind of get those creative juices flowing and satisfied?
When I first started, it was definitely on the side. You know, I was working full-time job and trying to, you know, figure out what I wanted to do. I've kind of always wanted to own my own business. You know, since I was a little kid, I've had, you know, the dual lemonade bracelet stand. You know, I didn't want to just sell lemonade. I also had to sell the bracelets that I've made. So I've always had this entrepreneurial spirit. But, you know, when I was working, I knew what I liked and what I didn't like, but I had a hard time putting my finger on what I really should be doing. And so I think the fact that I did have these, you know, different jobs was really beneficial for me to understanding what I should do, you know, as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, you know, I think that every exposure we have in business is helpful because we can see the way we want to do things, that maybe we would choose a different way to do it than perhaps the person, you know, that is in the leadership position there. But, you know, that's all valuable information, too. So when you do go out on your own, if you choose to do that, you kind of have a foundation of, yeah, this is resonates with me, and to use what you said earlier, help you be authentic, because I think when you are authentic, you resonate with people. It's when you're you know, not exactly sure who you are when you're showing up for them. They don't know who you are either. They can't quite put their finger on who you are. So, you know, that self-definition is part, I think, of the process of the evolving, you know, being a solopreneur. You know, you just kind of got to, you figure it out as you go.
Right. Yes, you definitely do. But that's the best way to learn sometimes, is just to, you know, take your real life knowledge and use that to the best of your ability.
Yeah. So you were in a marketing position. How did the marketing background that you collected through the work time, how did that help you in the success of your blog?
You know, I've always taken everything that I've learned, you know, from the corporate world and use it on my blog, whether it's successful or unsuccessful. I think I've tried it out. And I'm always trying something new. You know, I worked in social media marketing, event planning, all of those realms. And I think that that's really helped me to hone in on my skills on, you know, how I can use those online. So I worked for digital marketing agencies and, you know, restaurants, everything. So I think that, you know, using those skills and understanding what works online has been, you know, very interesting for me. So there are things that work and there are things that don't work. But I've definitely taken those skills that I've used in the past and being able to use them on myself.
So, and part of marketing is, well, and correct me if I'm mistaken, but it's also part of that networking thing that you said that you do, you know, where you reach out to other bloggers and have the confidence to, you know, talk with them about what you're doing and see the differences to where you're not, you know, feeling like they're going to steal, you know, your business.
Yes.
You know, it's more about a collaborative, hey, I do this, you do this, what can we do together kind of thing.
Right. Exactly. It really is about reaching out to your contacts and figuring out what, you know, what do they need? What can I help them with? I think everyone really can, you know, use a boost when it comes to their business and their blog. So, you know, it's about figuring out what that is, which isn't always obvious. So, you know, making those contacts and finding a solution for them, you know, is a task in itself. So looking at their business and seeing what, you know, how can they grow? Might not always be obvious, but, you know, I really like to take an in-depth look at, you know, the bloggers and the companies that I work with and try to see how I can really help them with their business.
So what types of businesses do you typically blog for? Is there a specific area of concentration, or do you reach out to them? Do they find you? Tell us a little bit about that process.
That process, yes, absolutely. That's a really interesting process. So with that, you know, it started out with I kind of sat and waited for companies to reach out to me. You know, I was unfamiliar with the blogging world and the stipulations on how everything worked, so I kind of waited for companies to reach out to me. And, you know, I was just kind of being waited for someone to throw me a bone. And while I still do that, and I enjoy it because, you know, I'm working with HP on their new tablet that they're coming out with, Samsung as well. But what I like to do is I like to reach out to businesses where I feel I have a strong connection. You know, I really like their product. And to be honest with you, I'm very into music. I love music. And, you know, I can't get enough of music. I travel the world to go see music. I actually go to a festival every year in Belgium. So instead of just waiting for them to maybe see that I like them or that I wrote a post on them, I decided that I'm going to reach out to them and make the first move. And that has been pretty much everything. To get over it and get the confidence to just reach out to these companies that I want to work with. Strangely enough, this music festival that I went to in Belgium, it sells out every year. And the tickets were sold out, and I ended up reaching out to them, and they sent me tickets to the festival. So you never know.
Wow.
The power of your words, what they mean. There's no harm to me in reaching out to individuals, to companies, and just, you know, asking if you can work with them. The worst they can say is no. And, you know, you can always try again. But to me, it's about getting up the confidence and, you know, having a plan and being organized and then reaching out to them.
And
so
once you reach out, and I think that's brilliant because a lot of people, in a previous life, I was in the franchise world, and even buying a franchise, people would think that now that I bought this business, people will just come to me. And one of the first things we always told the new franchisees is, no, you got to go out there and let people know who you are. So they think about you. They may not need you exactly on the day that you talk with them, but when they do need you, if they can put a face with a name and a voice with a name, they'll remember you know, because you were proactive with it. So what you're doing is brilliant and is definitely a note that I'd like my listeners to take away from this conversation is that, like you said, just get over it. You know, reach out to these folks.
Right.
If they say no, are you, going to, like, pass out? No. You'll probably continue breathing.
Right.
It's like, okay, so that I'm one more, you know, no closer to a yes. I know that sounds cliche, but it really is a numbers game. So,
right.
So tell us a little bit about what kind of research goes around your blog, because I'm envisioning that there are some topics that your approach to blog about that may not necessarily be in your repertoire just handy.
Absolutely. As far as research goes, I think because of my background in marketing and social media, I've always wanted to have a full grasp on what I'm, you know, going to speak about or blog about or write about. So, you know, I want to make sure I'm 100% aware of what's going on before I actually just jump in and write about it. So there can be a lot of research beforehand, before I write, you know, looking at reviews online, reading news articles, following the trends. You know, because I work in online advertising, I have a good understanding of Google Analytics, search engine optimization, all of that technical behind the scenes knowledge. So I try to use that to the best of my ability and do some research beforehand on the topics that I'm going to discuss, whether it's, you know, as simple as Googling or really getting an in-depth understanding and of what I'm going to talk about.
For those of you that have just joined us, we are speaking with Helene Sula. Helene Sula has been voted as the best local blogger in the North Texas area for 2014, and her blog is called Helene in Between, and it covers just about anything and everything new and trendy happening in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So, Helene, what I know, it sounds like that you've got four different revenue streams, if I was listening to conversation correctly. So you're able to capitalize on your blog. How are you able to do that?
I think as far as capitalizing on, my blog, what I do is I use absolutely everything I can, you know, in my power. I think it's about networking and talking to people in a way that they can feel like they can connect with me. So I want my blog to be a way for not just bloggers, but, you know, everyone to kind of connect and learn online. So because I talk about an array of different subjects, I think people, and particularly bloggers, can connect with me on that. So I reach a different audience since I'm not delegated to just one niche. So as far as, you know, capitalizing on certain aspects of my blog, I really try to reach an array of different subjects. So, you know, I like to talk about how-tos as far as blogging goes. I like to talk about trending subjects, especially, you know, in the world, in news, and also, you know, especially the Dallas and Texas area. So that's kind of my focus, and I think that even though I don't have a specific niche, I think it is important for you as a blogger or really anyone to focus on why are people coming to read you? Why are people going to use you as a business? So you have to focus on that in order to, you know, satisfy the people that, you know, you have in line right now and then gain more followers and readers and prospects.
So out of curiosity, how do you know specifically how many followers you have? Is it from the number of people that click on your blog and read it?
I actually look at it a number of ways. I compile, you know, all of the social media followers that I have. So, you know, that's one way. But then I really focus on my analytics. So I look at, you know, how many page views, how many unique views am I getting per month? What posts are being shared. That, to me, is more important than just a follower number, although, of course, I want that to always grow. But, you know, having someone actually sit and read what I'm writing, to me, is the most important.
Right, yeah, you want to make sure that whatever you're writing is relevant and, you know, interesting to people in a way that makes them not only read it, but also share it. And I think that, well, let me ask you another question then. For our listeners, are you using Google Analytics, or how is it in particular that you're getting your analytical information?
Yes, I use Google Analytics. I would say I'm a little bit of a nerd. I've just always been interested in the technical side and learning about how people are finding me online. I just think that's so interesting, and it's important to know that so that you can continue to grow in that respect. So, yes, I look at Google Analytics. It's always a tab that's open in my browser. So, you know, if I start to see a spike in traffic, I want to know immediately, you know, what source did that come from? You know, is someone sharing this on Facebook? Did someone pin this on Pinterest? And so forth. So I definitely use Google Analytics, and I try to capitalize that as well. You know, I like to think that, you know, strike while the iron's hot. If this post is being shared heavily on Facebook, then maybe I should share it on Facebook again, or vice versa for any other social media outlet. So I am always kind of looking for ways to, you know, increase my scope and my range of viewers.
Yeah, and I think that all business owners do need to have a pulse on their business, and you're definitely in tune. You've got it open all the time, so you're watching all angles of what's happening in your business, and that allows you to respond very quickly and make good decisions. You know, you don't just let things hang out there for a while. You know, you're on it. I love that.
Yes. Well, yeah, I like to make sure that, you know, I always have my finger kind of on the pulse of what's happening, not just with my blog, but with others. So, you know, that's why I really like to make it a community, because I like to know how are others growing, and, you know, try to apply that for myself and, you know, other businesses and bloggers as well.
Absolutely. So, folks, this morning my guest is Helene Sula, and we will be back with Helene in about 5 minutes after our commercial break, and we are going to continue talking a little bit about her blogging, and then we're going to go into another unique business that she has created. So stick around. We'll be right back.
It's on Action Radio with your host, Jazzy Jazz. I'm so glad to introduce to some DJ Fudge. When you say that DJs are getting lazy, what do you mean?
It's been my experience. On some events and things that I've attended, I've seen some DJs who want to play strictly for themselves and not for the crowd. I've seen some DJs that want to go in and all they want to do is just scratch all day and not pay attention to the crowd. I really see that a lot of DJs, there's no passion. There's no, you know, let me create this experience. And I think that's, you know, I think that's what's so wonderful about Fantastic Fridays and playing with the guys that I play with, because they have the same passion as I do.
Action Radio, Thursday, 8 p.m., only on CosmicBroadcasting.com.
How would it feel to have a realtor who's always there for you? With Judy Ankeny of Ankeny Real Estate, you never have to worry about your phone call going to voicemail, as she takes pride in the fact that she is always available to her clients and make an assertive effort to listen to your needs, and closely works with you to clearly establish your goals and objectives. As a client, you become part of her team, which means seamless communication between you and herself as your business with her progresses. She is not satisfied until you are happy. With Judy's guidance, she will make sure you're not only getting the best possible loans, but can also make sure you get the best quality out of selling your home. First-time buyers, rest assured, as Judy will confidentially guide you through the process to owning your first home that you will love. Judy covers Teller and El Paso country, and you can contact her at 719-360-4276 or visit her website at www.ankenyrealestate.com. Be prepared to get excited.
What separates us from them?
Juda, Chilia, Qualité, Quality, Qualität, Qualidade, Qualidade, Quality, Jakost, Kajistva, Qualidade, Quality, Ansaud, Upora, Latu.
You keep using the word. I don't think it means what you think it means.
Quality.
It sounds the same no matter where you're from. Cosmic Broadcasting.
It's good to be king or queen of your own home.
Buying, selling, or leasing? Call Wayne King, licensed, trusted, and experienced real estate advisor in Colorado Springs. 719-331-2986. Wayne King has earned the trust of hundreds of clients by finding the right solution for them. Buying, selling, or leasing? Century 21, Kerbal Realty, and Wayne King can make you king or queen of your own home. To work with a realtor that treats you like royalty, visit Wayne King's website, whereswaynow.com, or call 719-331-2986. It's good to be king.
Hey, hey, hey. Welcome to another week of the Animal House.
Guys, our brothers from Bubble Fire Department are here. Last Wednesday, you guys saved Sarah's dogs. Tell us what it was like, and what is it like getting all this attention?
It's overwhelming.
Yeah, the attention's been overwhelming. We didn't expect, these aren't the first animals we've saved, so it's kind of surprising to us that these animals have created such a media.
Bubble Fire, you guys rock. All of you rock.
Thank you.
Yes, and are y'all as good looking as the guys here?
No, they're not.
Oh.
No.
You pretty much got the cream of the crop right here.
Yeah, about as good as it gets.
Oh, God. Ladies, that was Nate. Stay away from him. He definitely has an ego. No, I'm kidding.
Actually, I don't.
The Animal House, Tuesday, 5 p.m., only on CosmicBroadcasting.com.
Hi, this is Tony Caputo from NoI'mWatchingFootball.com here to tell you about the Gridiron Grub Cookbook. It's a fantastic gift idea for the football fan in your life. It has great football-related stories from fans all over the country, but more important, it has fantastic recipes from football fans from all over the country. At least one delicious recipe from every fan of every pro team in the league. And people ask me, Tony, what is NoI'mWatchingFootball? Look, if you know me and you ask me to do something on a Sunday afternoon during football season, my response is, no, I'm watching football. So we took that, made it into NoI'mWatchingFootball.com and turned that into the Gridiron Grub Cookbook as well. Appetizers in Atlanta to salmon in Seattle, jambalaya in New Orleans, wings, burgers, chili, you name it, the Gridiron Grub Cookbook has it. Fantastic gift idea for the holidays. You can get it today. NoI'mWatchingFootball.com.
It's the best sports talk show you've never heard of until now. Talking sports with that guy every Saturday at 10 right here on Cosmic Broadcasting.
Welcome back to Biz Talk. My name is Steve, and as the host of Biz Talk, I find people who are passionate about what they do, give back to the community, and have fun doing it. As a reminder, my book Circle Up is available on Amazon.com, and I am currently booking speaking engagements for January, February, and March of 2015. So my guest this morning is Helene Sula. Welcome back, Helene.
Oh, thank you for having me back.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, Helene has been voted as the best local blogger in the North Texas area for 2014. And in the first segment, we talked a little bit about her blog and how it came to be. Before we get into the next subject, I'd like to ask one last question, which is, what advice would you have to future bloggers that are looking to transition from maybe doing this kind of as a part-time kind of a thing to a full-time kind of a gig?
I think first and foremost, you have to have a passion for it. It's a lot of work, It's many hours, and sometimes it's sleepless nights, but anything that's worth it, you know, is. And you have to first and foremost position yourself like a business and think about why you want to blog and what your key audience is. So, you know, really making sure that this is something that you will love and want to do, because you will have those times where you're working 90 hours a week. So it's got to be something you love in order to keep up that passion for it. And then really making sure that you are treating it like a business, like you are finding out why, how other businesses work, and treating yourself like a business as well.
So take it seriously. Make sure that it's definitely something you enjoy doing, because you're going to be doing a lot of it. And make sure that you set yourself up from the very beginning like a business, so you've got all those really good habits to follow when you do get busy. You've got systems in place to help you run your organization.
Exactly.
Awesome. Well, we're going to shift gears a little bit, and we're going to talk about a second business that Helene has opened up. And this is a business I think a lot of people are interested in learning about, because it appears on the surface that it could be quite easy, but I imagine on like any other business, you know, it just looks easy from the, 30,000 feet kind of viewpoint. So, yeah. So tell us a little bit about your t-shirt line and the inspiration for that, and how that kind of works within the confines of you already having a full-blown business running.
So, you know, like other people, I saw t-shirts and I thought, could this be pretty easy? And then I realized once I started doing it that, no, it isn't. Just like everything, it takes a lot of work and time and effort. But the way it started was actually about a year ago. I was looking online for a t-shirt for myself. I thought of this clever saying, and I thought, okay, this has to be on a t-shirt. This is so funny. It has to be somewhere. I looked and I looked and I couldn't find it. And, you know, I'm from Texas, and I really wanted myself and my husband to have these Texas t-shirts. Not matching, but, you know, something with Texas on them. Especially as a blogger, you know, I wanted something that represented where I'm from. And I looked online, and again, I just didn't find anything I liked. So I got the idea. I did some research, and I decided that I was going to design these myself. So I ordered just a small amount for myself. And when I posted them online, people kind of went crazy. They said, "I want this." So that's how it kind of started. I did not know that I was actually going to do this until I posted it online and realized that there was demand for them. So I started creating t-shirts, and I realized that how fun it was to get to really be, you know, use my graphic design skills and take the images that I like personally and see them on someone else. So I created a t-shirt line, and it launched actually just about 5 months ago. So it's been in the works for quite a while, but, you know, actually getting it off the ground and having other people buy my shirts has started just the past few months.
So when you decided to get started, what were some of the steps that you put together? You said it's been in the works for a while, but just launched about 5 months ago. So how long did it take for you from the idea to actually come to the actual business?
So first and foremost, you know, I wanted it to be a design that I would wear. You know, I see a lot lately, T-shirts, I think, are becoming such a big deal. I mean, everyone wears a T-shirt. So I wanted it to be something I could basically live in. I wanted it to be, you know, something I would throw on every day. But I also wanted it to be cute. You know, I am a blogger, and so that means I have a lot of pictures taken of me, and I post a lot of pictures online, so it needed to be functional and cute. So first and foremost, I wanted to research, you know, what materials I liked. So I did a lot of research online and what type of material did I want the shirt to be. I spent a lot of time looking at T-shirt designers. You know, where could I find this product? And I wanted it to all be local. I wanted everything to be out of Texas, because what's the point of making shirts in, that have Texas pride on them if they're not going to be local? So I made it a priority that everything was local. So I found someone online, and, I went kind of through a painstaking process of, I ordered a shirt from almost every single Dallas printer. And I, noted their customer service. I noted the quality of the shirt and, you know, how fast was the turnaround time. And then I settled on one that I really liked and would be able to work with me and my demands and my crazy ideas. So that's kind of how it started. I put out feelers of, hey, would anyone actually buy this shirt? And they did. So that's kind of been the process, is really making sure, I want to make sure what I'm putting out there is something that's quality. I don't want to purchase something that's cheap or really just not attractive. So to me, I wear these every day. I have one of everything, and I am wearing one right now. So I'm always wearing my product, which I don't know, with musicians, I know they're not allowed to, they don't really like to listen to their own music, but I totally disagree when it happens to be your product. I say wear it. So always have business cards on me. So if someone compliments me, I hand them a business card and let them know where they can buy their merchandise.
So you launched this 5 months ago, and where did you decide to launch? Was it on Etsy?
I started on Etsy, and the reason why I liked Etsy is because it's a great way for businesses, if you're not as familiar with the ins and outs of, taxes and keeping inventory and notifying shippers that notifying the customers that you've shipped the items. It really makes it streamlined. So it's a great way to kind of put everything together. So that's why Etsy has just been such a great platform for me. I have my blog, and I have the shop within my blog, but there's also, you know, the platform of Etsy kind of backing me up. So that's why I chose that. I just think it's a great way to really get it off the ground.
So for the listeners that aren't as familiar with Etsy, tell us a little bit about the process that you followed to get your product online there. Is there kind of a questionnaire that you fill out, or how does that work?
So I have actually been on Etsy for a number of years, and, you know, I have bought products. So like I said, I've always wanted to be an entrepreneur. So I've had a shop on Etsy for probably 10 years, which means I'm 27, I'm almost 28. So that means started when I was about 17 years old, I had a shop on Etsy. So I have kind of learned the ins and outs of the product for a long time. But basically, the way it works is that you start a shop on Etsy, and you need to have kind of a niche. You can't sell 100 different items. You know, they're looking for handmade quality items.
Okay.
So you fill out your profile. You need to have your shop policies, your shipping policies. You kind of have to have all of that in your bank first. You need to know, you know, what is your mission statement. All of that, you need to have that first.
Okay.
Or you're just going to throw out the shop there. And then you can just have a plain Etsy shop, but you can, I mean, if you have any kind of graphic design skills, or I use my blog name as my shop name on Etsy. So I wanted everything to flow. I wanted all of the branding to be the same. So I take, you know, what I have on my blog, and I apply that same kind of feel to the Etsy shop as well. So I have the Dallas skyline on the top of my blog, and that's the top of the Etsy shop as well. And then you are creating products, and you list the inventory you have, how long it's going to take to ship, the quality of the product, you know, when they can expect a ship time, and everything needs to be there. So it's a very upfront way to list your products. You kind of have to know all the ins and outs. But in addition to that, what they do for you, there are some fees, obviously, because they host the platform for you. But, you know, they will notify your customer as soon as you ship something. You can set up automatic, notes to your buyers. Everything is all there for them. You can have a conversation, and you can set up custom orders if needed. So it just really makes everything so easy.
And when the customers order your merchandise, from where is it shipped?
I ship it myself. So I ship it from my headquarters, which is my home, in Dallas, Texas. So I do all of the shipping. I do all of the packaging. I do everything. It's just a platform to help me get the word out about my shop, as well as an easy-to-manage storefront.
And so does that mean that you have continual inventory that you have on hand, or do you do print on demand, or how does that work?
I have stock of my shirts. You know, I have a certain number in stock, and then I create everything here, but I have the T-shirts, the actual material from my printer that I get. So that's why I can create custom items, because I have this great relationship with them, and they're local and they're in Dallas. So if someone, for instance, today, someone really wanted a maroon writing on their shirt, on a gray shirt. That's not something that I offer, but I can do that because, you know, I'm able to, come up with these images. It's all on my own, which a lot of T-shirts, you know, it's one option and that's about it.
Right. Yeah. You don't get a choice. You can't customize it. It's just, or even if it's customized, it's kind of air quote customized, and you can customize it to this point.
Exactly. Right.
So you kind of answered one of my questions that I had, is if you cross promote, but let's talk a little bit more about that. So you said that your shop is actually within your blog. So what does that really look like?
Basically, there's something called an iframe. So when you click on a shop, you're able to see the listings of all of my items. But then once you actually go to purchase, that's when you're taken to the Etsy page and you process everything through there. So
through my
blog, you can kind of get, I wanted my blog to be a one-stop shop. You know, it's a website, so you can on my blog, there is my homepage, which has the new blog posts I post at least once a day, and then my consultation services. So that's another element that can be clicked on, and people can view that. And then also the shop. So I wanted everything to be kind of be a one-stop shop.
Mm-hmm. And I think that that's helpful for consumers, because they don't want to, you know, the more clicks they have to do away from something, the more they get distracted and don't come back. So I think that's a really good point for the listeners to take away from today's conversation as well. So when you're building your business with Etsy, is there a minimum product that you offer? You said you have to have a niche, but do you have to have at least X amount of things that people can choose from, or can you just have one thing and sell the heck out of that?
You can have one thing and sell that, but I really think that, you know, you're dealing with so many people that are so diverse. You know, I often have people that order five shirts and they order five different shirts. So I like to really give them, you know, a variety so that they will order more or see that they can come back and I'll have new designs. So I like to try to come out. My goal is to try to come out with at least four new designs a year. Right now I'm actually really trying to do one every other month, which might be more difficult than it seems, but I have a new design that I'm going to come out with after Christmas. And, you know, I just want to give people a reason to continue to work with me rather than just buy one and then they're done.
Right. So it kind of gives them an opportunity to check back with you to see what's new, because they kind of know that, you know, every so often new stuff's going to be coming up. And then do you blog about the new items that are coming up too, or do you kind of separate the two, you know? I guess what I'm trying to understand is like, you know, you've got the organizations that you're blogging for and you have your business. So how do you separate those two out and still use your platform of your blog to talk about what you're doing with your t-shirts?
So when I'm going to answer this maybe a little bit long-winded, so stop.
That's okay.
If I'm getting too long-winded. So when I first started blogging, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed by my blog. You know, I'm putting myself out there, and I didn't necessarily want people to know about it, especially my friends. I didn't want to irritate them, I guess is the right word,
okay.
You know, with my business aspect. So as soon as I got over that, which is a lot about getting over that to me, as soon as I got over that, I realized that my friends and family members are great cheerleaders and great networkers for me. So I am upfront about everything. When I come out with a new t-shirt, it's on my blog, it's on my personal Facebook page, and it's on my blog Facebook page. It's everywhere. Because you never know if someone might really like that. I had, I came out with a design that's called Why Not. It's my favorite. And I had a number of my friends and their mothers buy one. So, you know, I never thought that that would happen, but, you know, you never know who your customers are. So I definitely I put it all out to my personal business as well as, you know, professionally.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I share it everywhere.
I think you hit on something that I'd like to speak about. If you're just joining us again, this is Helene Sula. She's been voted as the best local blogger in the North Texas area for 2014, and she has a dual role in her blogging as well as an owner of another business that is a t-shirt line. And I think sometimes when people do go out on their own, they are embarrassed. You know, it's like, God, is my idea worth telling my friends and family about? You know, I want to be successful first and, you know, and have strangers know about me before I tell my parents, because, you know, I don't want them to be disappointed.
Exactly. It seems like a bigger deal to have to tell friends and family than tell, you know, strangers, I guess.
Yeah, because you don't feel like if the strangers judge you, it doesn't hurt as much.
Exactly.
You know, because you're like, well, I don't care. I don't know you. Well, I kind of do care because you are a client, and I do respect, you know, what you have to say. And, oh, by the way, you respect me too? Well, if the stranger respects me, what about these people that love me?
Exactly. Right.
But we do punk ourselves out sometimes. I think we talk ourselves out of a lot of things because, you know, just going back to the self-confidence that we talked about in the first segment, that, you know, we really have to get over our bad selves and just go, you know, and get out of our own way.
Exactly. Get out of your own way is a great way to put it, because if I hadn't, you know, shared it on my personal page, I don't think that I would have been able to get those contacts and those sales that I had. So I'm very glad that I got over myself, which is kind of something that I say I have to remind myself a lot, is just to kind of get over it and, you know, be excited about the work that I've done.
Yeah. Definitely, and be proud of what you've done, because so many businesses in the first 2 years fall apart. You know, they've got a great idea, but either they haven't done their mission statement, like you mentioned, they haven't written a business plan, they are not looking at the analytics like you do, or they get distracted by other shiny objects rather than continuing on working on the thing that made them successful from the beginning. And so from my experience, those are the four key factors of people. Well, and funding, you know, you got to make sure that you've got enough money to run your business. And a lot of times that means not paying yourself for a while, but you know, you get it. Yeah. You know, so all of those things together, along with, I think, a key factor, which is support from the people that are close to you. And you've mentioned that you're married. So your husband, is he a part of your business, or is he the big cheerleader on the sidelines? Tell us about how that works, that relationship.
I would say he's definitely the big cheerleader on the sidelines. You know, with he works full-time as well. And he and I, we've been together a very long time. We've been together for 10 years, so since high school, married for 3, and he is very by the book. And, you know, when I kind of decided that I was going to venture out on my own, I was worried, you know, is he going to support me on this? Is this going to be a big battle? But he has ended up being the best cheerleader in the world. So I've been really fortunate to have that, because it's important to have someone that is going to back you up, both emotionally and financially. So, because there are days when you're not making as much as you'd like to make, but you have to keep pushing forward, because, you know, as most businesses, when you first start, there's some uncertainties. So having him, you know, be my cheerleader and be by my side in that respect has been very important. So he's not part of the business, but he's definitely a big supporter.
So, you know, one of the things that the listeners can also take away is that, you know, if you've got an idea and you want to pursue it full time, it is important to make sure that if it's going to affect somebody close to you, like your husband or your wife, that it's a critical conversation to have, to make sure that they understand your passion. They can see that you're organized about it. You know, you're not just saying, well, I want to quit my job because I'm mad and I've got this idea about a t-shirt. Well, that isn't a platform where, on which you can really build. It's just, you know, an emotion.
Exactly.
So when you say your husband was by the book, I'm sure that you had a plan of action to show him rather than just say, well, shoot, fire, aim, honey, let's go.
No, exactly. No, he, and, you know, I say that he's not a business partner, but he is, in the sense that we talk about my finances. We talk about my sales trends. We talk about expenses. So, you know, I want him to be a partner in that. That's not necessarily a conversation that everybody can have with their husband or their wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, because it can be odd, you know, but it's important to be flexible and to be open about those things so that, you know, you're able to continue growing, especially if there are
in
finances.
Well, and I think that as a couple, it helps you grow too, because, you know, it expands your interests together, as well as, you know, that separation of, you know, he's got his job and you've got your job as well. So, you know, you guys are, you've got a life together and then you've got these separate lives. And those are things that are really important for the longevity of, you know, relationships. So it sounds like that, you know, even, I mean, you are wise beyond your years, girl. I am so impressed with everything that you have accomplished and all of the entrepreneurial savvy that you've picked up on your own. It's just, I really encourage everyone to take a look at your blog, to take a look at your Etsy site. So share with everyone how they can find you and how they can communicate with you.
Yes, it's really easy. It's Helene, which is not the easiest name to spell, but it's H-E-L-E-N-E. So like Helen with an E on the end. Helene in between. So Helene, I-N-B-E-T-W-E-E-N.com. And I'm at Helene at HeleneInBetween.com if you ever want to email me as well.
Well, Helene, thank you again for being our guest today on Biz Talk. Again, my name is Claire Billingsley. I'm the host of Biz Talk. You can visit me on my website at BillingsleyConsultingGroup.com to take a look at the variety of offerings I have. And until next week, I encourage each one of you to find a way to give back to yourself or your community that is fun and fulfilling for all involved. Make it a great week. Bye-bye. All I want to do is have a little